The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living. And thanks so much for joining us today. I am delighted to be here and to have all of you here too. My name is Barbara Friesner, and I am the host of Age-Wise Living, and I'm a generational coach. I became a generational coach as the result of more than 25 years as a caregiver, first for many years for my grandmother, and then about 17 years ago, my father died. And about a year before he died, he asked me if I noticed that my mother had gotten more forgetful. And I was living in Boston at the time. They were living in New York. And I really didn't notice. Besides, people who lived together for a long time, and my parents were married for 50 years, so people who live together for a long time really support each other, and it's hard to know where one person stops and the other person starts. So I said, no, I really had not noticed, and maybe because he was so sick, maybe she's just worried about you. And he said, well, maybe. And that was the end of it. We never talked about it again. And I, to this day, wish that I had asked more questions because after he died, while my mother was independent, she was pleasantly forgetful. I mean, she had a routine, so it was not really very obvious. But, you know, there were quirky things, but, you know, never really struck a chord. And then little things started to surface that we noticed, bills that were not getting paid, and one of them was her rent, and it started to get messy. And so I took over all of her financial stuff and paying the bills and all the rest of it, and I think she was really relieved because Daddy had always paid all of the bills and handled all the finances. And for a while, she got better. But then one night, she put on a pot of water to boil after dinner and sat down in front of the television to wait for the water to boil to make tea, and she fell asleep. And the water boiled down, and smoke filled the apartment, and a neighbor called the fire department, and they came, and they took Mommy, and they put her with the next-door neighbor, a friend of hers next door, and they aired out the apartment and then moved her back in and everything, and that was fine. No big deal. We've probably all done something like that. No reason to be alarmed, except that the next day, Mommy had absolutely no recollection of it at all. And she, not only did she not remember it, but she was furious when people mentioned it. And in fact, when the next door neighbor who she'd been with asked her if everything was okay, she got so angry that she never spoke to the next door neighbor again. And at that point, my sisters and I got really alarmed. We realized that there was obviously a problem and it wasn't really safe anymore for her to be living alone. And at that point, we immediately moved her into an assisted living community. And, you know, we were making decisions out of crisis, but we were so, so lucky that there was a place available. And then for a while, she was really fine. And then, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, we moved her into a continuing care retirement community where you move in independent and then assisted living and nursing home and stuff. And when her dementia got seriously bad, she was moved into the nursing home section. So all in all, my journey with my mother has been more than 17 years. And sadly, my mother passed away this past Thursday. So let me also say, if you turned in to hear Rebecca Starr talk about seniorizing your home, there's been a slight change of plans. I guess the word slight is a bit of an understatement, but I've changed the program because here at my mother's end time and mine with her, I really want to share what I've been going through with you. Now, don't worry. I promise the show is not going to be morbid or maudlin or weird or freaky or anything. It's just an opportunity to share a subject that people don't talk about. And I've asked my good friend, Ann Short, to be with me today to hold my hand, a virtual handhold, because she's up in Canada, but mostly also because she lost her mother to dementia in 2006. So in addition for her being here to support me, she wanted to be here to share some of her experiences, too. So hi, Ann. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, and thanks so much for being here. I really am so sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much, Barbara. I really appreciate you letting me share this with you today. And again, I'm very sorry for your loss as well.
Thanks.
I really do understand what you're going through. And as you mentioned, my own mom passed away in November of 2006. And interestingly enough, in her case, it was just a few weeks shy of her 80th birthday.
Mm.
And my siblings and I had been her caregivers for a number of years, and we had watched her deteriorate as her dementia progressed. And while it's almost been 3 years since her passing, my family and I are still grieving her loss.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm told that this is something that the grieving process goes on. And I certainly know with Daddy that I miss him and things that I'll do or say or behave in a certain way or something. And suddenly, I hear Daddy talking. So I know this is, and I miss him. So I know that it does.
Absolutely, and again, I really appreciate the opportunity to share this with you as well. Just wondering, Barbara, is the reason why you're doing this particular show, would you say that it is part of your grieving process?
Well, I guess that's part of it, but you know how they talk about actors who after 10 years of struggling are now an overnight success?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And that's sort of how it is with my mother. I've had 10 to 15, 17 years of grieving that this lovely woman is no longer my mother. So while it was very sudden, in reality, I've been grieving for a very long time. I'm also sharing this because many, many years ago, I was living in Los Angeles, and I was thinking about this the other day, and when I thought I wanted to do this program, and, you know, why sort of to lay it out there. And I was living in Los Angeles, and I was listening to some daytime talk show, and there was a guy on it, and I have no recollection of who he was. For some reason, I think he was like the president of AT&T or something. And he was talking about his experience having been a salesperson and how he'd make a sales call and you know, a phone call, and the person wouldn't take his call, and the secretary would say, you know, if you leave your number, they'll call you back, and then he didn't make calls for the rest of the day because he was so sure that the person was going to call him back. And it's sort of a funny story, but I never forgot the impact that his honesty had on me. The fact that he was willing to share something that showed his vulnerability, and it was something that I did and tried not to do anymore, although plenty of times I'd sort of, you know, oh, I'm sure they're going to call me back. But really more than that, it's really something that because of him, I've been doing, trying to share my vulnerability ever since. And I think that's really why I became a generational coach, because I could help people using my personal experiences. And I guess this is just a continuation of that, because people don't talk about the end time, and it's so huge and so significant. And I just think it's better if we talk about it, not because it's going to make it any less huge, because nothing is going to do that. But I think if we can see and understand what's coming and do some of the preparation stuff, and maybe it'll just be less awful. I don't know. I don't think I'm expressing myself very well, but I guess if I can help other people with my experience, then I'm helping myself as well. And in fact, tomorrow is the first day that I'm going to be back in public since last Thursday. So I really wanted to do this today because I have no idea what to expect when I go back out into the world tomorrow. And so I just wanted to share this today while I still could. So that's a very long answer to say, yes, this is part of my grieving.
Well, again, Barbara, that's amazing, and I really appreciate, you know, you sharing that. And the other thing is that, you know, when it comes to the grieving process, everybody grieves differently. And some people are able to, I think it's very admirable that you're going out into the world, as you like to call it. So I would consider that quickly, but at the same time, that's part of your grieving process, and everybody grieves differently.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, did your mom pass away suddenly?
Yeah, she did. She was in perfect health. Well, aside from the dementia, but let me say she was in no different health than she had been. She was not well. She was not up walking and stuff like that. But aside from the dementia, I was absolutely convinced that she was going to live another 10 years. So it was absolutely sudden and a shock. And in fact, when the woman called from the nursing home to tell me that Mommy had died, I was in a meeting, and I stepped out into the hall to take the call, and she asked me if I was sitting down. And I said, just tell me what's going on. And again, she said, you need to sit down. And so I said, fine, I'm sitting down. I mean, it was in the hallway. There were no chairs or anything. I said, fine, I'm sitting down. And she told me, and when she told me, I literally sank to the floor and started wailing, but I literally sank to the floor because I was in such shock, I never saw it coming. And in fact, even now, I know my mother is dead, so I'm not in denial, but even now, I'm still convinced she's going to live another 10 years. I mean, it's really weird. I think about it, and I have to tell myself she's not, but it's going to take a really long time for me to come around from that. One of the things, I want to talk a little bit more about that, but we have someone, we have Dotsie from Maryland calling, and she has a question, and I really would love to encourage people to call. So, Dotsie, are you there?
I'm here, and actually more of a question. I just wanted to comment, and that is to say that, of course, I'm sorry to hear about your mom, and I recall when I lost my mom, like you say, you're going out into the world tomorrow, and I remember how unbelievable that was to me, that I could lose my mother and life would go on, and it does.
Yeah.
It somehow does. And so I'll be thinking about you and praying for you as you do that tomorrow, and I think you're really brave to do this today, and I just applaud you for that.
Thank you.
I also want to comment that I know that you've been grieving the loss of your mom for years, and we're going through a similar situation with my father-in-law who has Alzheimer's, and has probably had it for about 5 years, but still recognizes us and is as healthy as a horse otherwise. So I have a feeling we're in for a similar ride, if you will. What message do you have for caregivers who are kind of in it for the long haul? Now, by the grace of God, he's in a facility for people with Alzheimer's. There are only 60 people there. So
I like to call it a community. It's just one of my little semantic things.
Right. So, you know, he's getting great care, but it's just the visiting and just seeing him change that is just so, it's just so hard to believe.
It is. And it's an ongoing process, and you're going to go through so many different feelings about it. Sometimes, you know, the grieving and the sadness and watching them disappear, and sometimes anger and sometimes fear, and, you know, and I think the most important thing is to just feel it all. You know, just feel it all. And not make yourself wrong for whatever you feel, because nobody wrote the book on what you're supposed, each individual person is supposed to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a terribly difficult time, and the fact that even if he doesn't know you, the fact is he knows you're there.
Right, and that's great advice, and I appreciate that. And, you know, as the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, I know this is a tremendous topic because so many of us are going through very similar situations. In fact, I'm getting ready. I can't listen to the rest of the call because I have to take an elder neighbor who lives alone and was in a car accident to the doctor, and she pretty much doesn't have anyone, and it's frightening.
It is.
I think that a lot of boomers are starting to think about what's going to happen when it's our turn, and that's even, you know, a little more scary and maybe one of the reasons a lot of us are doing the long-term health care insurance. But anyway, I appreciate all you do on this topic and have listened to many of your teleseminars and read your articles and book and listened to your CD. And I just can't say enough about what you're doing to educate us so that we can, you know, understand how to take care of our elders and ourselves while we're doing it. So thanks,
well,
Barbara.
Thank you so much, Dotsie. And
you're
thank
welcome.
You for calling. And good luck at the doctor's today and
okay.
your dad.
All right. Thanks. Okay.
Okay. Bye. And I think that's a good place. We're going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age-Wise Living, and we're talking about the end time. And if you'd like to call in and ask me a question or share your story with us, we would love to hear from you. Please call toll-free 866-472-5788. And by the way, if you'd rather not call, but you have something you'd like to say, please email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. So with that, we'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to barbara@agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to Age Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking about the end time. And before we went, you asked me if this had been sudden, and I just wanted to add one other thing to it. The day after my mom died, I called the nursing home to find out, is there something I'm supposed to do up there? Do we have to go get her stuff? You know, what happens now? I mean, obviously the funeral arrangements had been done, but, so I didn't have to do that. But, what were we supposed to do? Anyway, the woman who had called me the night before to tell me about mommy was the one who answered the phone. And I asked her, because mommy was in no different health than she had been, I said, why now? Why June 4th? Why not, a year ago or 6 months from now? You know, why now? And her immediate question was, is this the anniversary of anything? And I thought, June 4th? No, it's not the anniversary. And I said, well, no. I said, I mean, Daddy's birthday was last week. It was May 27th, and it would have been his 90th birthday. And suddenly, I became absolutely certain, and I am absolutely clear on this, absolutely certain, that Daddy said to Mommy, it's time. You know, it's time to go. But I'm certain of it. And also, it was interesting too, because the timing was also so interesting. Not only was it Daddy's 90th birthday, but I had just finally gotten around to calling the nursing home to tell them that we needed to start the Medicaid process. And I'd already gathered all the documentation and 39 months of bank statements and birth certificates and Daddy's death certificate and Social Security and pension and all of that. And I had made an appointment to go to the nursing home to actually fill out the application. And I'm absolutely certain, because I had actually made the appointment, I think Daddy also said to Mommy, Barbara's done everything we've asked of her, and she's done it willingly. Don't make her do this. It's time. It's time. Don't make her do this. So, very unusual. I think that's an interesting question, because, of course, we'll never know. But I'm absolutely convinced, even though it was sudden, it was the right time. It was the time.
I tend to agree. And, again, just relating with you, in our case with our family, it was literally 3 weeks before my mother's 80th birthday. We lost our father in 1983. So again, our family has had conversations about this, that it was Dad saying, you're spending your 80th with me, sweetheart.
Yeah.
and it was very peaceful, and it was, so it's very, I really can relate to how you're feeling about that with absolute certainty that's what occurred.
Yeah, and fortunately with Mommy, it was very peaceful. There was actually someone from the nursing home there holding her hand when she died, and it was very peaceful. And so that is such a blessing.
That is absolutely. And, people who, the lady who was with your mom at the time, what a beautiful, beautiful tribute to her to be there with her.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. Just if you can tell me, you were the actual person that the nursing home had to call in the end of your mom's passing. That must have been very difficult for you.
Oh, it was. It was. And I didn't think it would be, but I had to tell my sisters. I had to be the one to tell my sisters. And that was incredibly difficult. I kept saying to them, I'm so sorry, I don't think I'm doing this right. I don't think I'm telling you this right. But, again, what do you say? But, that was really hard. And I was also not only the person that they called and had to tell my sisters but then, the immediate task at hand were the arrangements to pick up Mommy and take her to the funeral home. And the woman that called me from the nursing home said, call me back as soon as possible, like now, soon, with the funeral arrangements. And fortunately, I had already made arrangements, and I actually had carried the phone number in my wallet just in case something like this happened. And then the nursing home, so I gave it to the nursing home right then and there, and they called the funeral home and made all of the arrangements, which was so terrific. And by the way, pre-arranging funerals have become my new cause. So, you know, people are going to be hearing that from me all the time because I cannot tell you how important that is. I honestly could not have done anything on Thursday. I couldn't have. I couldn't think. I was stuttering. I just couldn't put sentences together. And no matter how much you accept the inevitability of death, it's always a shock. And that's not the time to be making decisions. And in some states, a friend of mine was telling me, she said, oh, thank God you had the funeral arrangements because they had not had them. And she lives in California, and there you have 4 hours to remove the body. And yeah, and so my God, and she said it was just horrible. And at the worst possible time that you can possibly have, here is a time when you're having to make decisions. And if I had not already made plans, I honestly do not know what I would have done.
That is amazing, and I can, you know, completely understand, because we had prearranged our mother's funeral as well, and you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, we were in such a shock, and we're walking around in fog, and that's one of the things that we had said is, thank goodness we have had the foresight to do that. And I mean, even doing that is uncomfortable at the time, but you really do appreciate that blessing of having made those arrangements, because somebody else will take care of it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and it's one of those things, you said it's uncomfortable. It's so much less uncomfortable to talk about it before there's a need.
That's,
you know, and before there's an inevitable need, and really to talk about it. With Daddy, he had always said, that when he died, he wanted his funeral to be a joyous occasion, to have a deli spread and show tunes playing. And all his friends there. And in fact, about 5 years before he died, he started having family reunions with a deli spread and show tunes, because he said, wait a minute, here's a day that's going to be the party I want. Why should I wait and not see these people? So we had family reunions, and then, so it's something that we had really talked about. And it was something that we had also, you know, made all of these arrangements for Mommy, part of it was the Medicaid planning, but also because I just know what so many other people go through, you know, through my practice. And the thing that is so important with it is that it's an opportunity to discuss difficult things, and it's an opportunity to get really clear, because when it happens, there's the chance that someone's going to be, you know, if you go to an unscrupulous person who sees you're grieving, then they are going to, you know, sell you all kinds of stuff that you don't need or you don't want. And so really doing it when you're clear-headed is the time to do it. And the funeral home came, and they picked up Mommy, and they took her to the funeral home in Queens. Now, she had wanted to be an organ donor, but it had already been determined that her organs were no longer donatable, and that's really too bad because that was important to her. But I really have to admit it did simplify the process, or at least I assume it did. And anyway, we're going to take another quick break. So this is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. We're talking about the end time. If you'd like to call in and ask me questions, share your story with us, we'd love to hear you. Just call toll-free, 866-472-5788. And we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program. Call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking about the end time. And I understand that, Dotsie, you have called back, so thank you so much.
Hi, I'm sorry, I'm still listening in before I run out the door.
I love it, thank you.
I just wanted to mention that I recently read a book that was written by a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and it's called When the Sun Goes Down, Planning the Funeral of Your Life. And it's by Betty Brujas, Brujaus, and it is an incredible book because I worked in a church for quite a while, and I'm very comfortable with death and funerals, etc., but not everyone is. But I think that this book could change somebody's mind if they read it, but it takes you through the steps of how to plan your own funeral. And then, of course, you know, you can use it for helping others plan theirs. But I just wanted to mention that because that's what you were talking about. So it's called When the Sun Goes Down. It's a good read, and I think it would probably be good for a lot of the people that you work with.
Oh, that's great. What is her last name? Betty Brujas?
Yes, Brujaus. And then about timing, I wanted to share that my mom died of lung cancer and was sick, gosh, for about 6 months. They had given her 6 months to live. She was in hospice care, and every day hospice would come and say they just couldn't understand why she hadn't died because she had such a teeny space in one of her lungs that they couldn't believe she was holding on. Well, my sister's birthday is March 10th, so we thought she was going to die on my sister's birthday, and she didn't. My birthday is the 12th of March, and we thought she would die on my birthday, and she didn't. And then on March 17th in the morning, hospice nurse came to the house and said, you know what, you guys need to leave your mother alone. Go in, put the dropper of medicine in her mouth, and leave. Stop talking to her, stop touching her, and because this, it was just like she was just living too long, and they were just concerned that when we were going in, that we were kind of somehow arousing her again. Well, sure enough, it was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. My maiden name is McNamara. Mm-hmm. My mother's maiden name was Collins, so she was Irish, and it was St. Patrick's Day. And after we had all had corned beef and cabbage in the other room, Mom died.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
And
it's
just
believe
amazing.
It. I mean,
and then we were like, oh, my gosh, of course that's what God was up to, because
yep.
we're all Irish. And, you know, so it's just interesting. Retrospect, you know, looking back, or hindsight, is always 20/20. But when you're going through it, it can be agonizing.
Absolutely, and I'm getting chills with that story because I now completely relate to it.
Yeah, isn't it? Well, yeah, when I was listening to you, I thought, oh, I have to hurry up and call back. So anyway, it's a pleasure being with you. And
thank you. And thank you for calling back.
You're welcome. All right,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. When we had left, we were talking about the funeral or the funeral home.
Yes, and Barbara, I was wondering if you could, you were saying that you had, you know, prearranged your mom's funeral, and I was just wondering if you could share how the funeral home took care of everything for you. Can you elaborate a little bit further on that?
Yeah. She wanted to be cremated, and so it was a matter of them coming up from Queens, New York, which is near Manhattan, and going up to Northern Westchester, where my mother had in the nursing home, Hebrew Hospital home. I'm going to mention them because they did a wonderful job with my mother. They took very good care of her. And so the funeral home went up there. They picked up Mommy and brought her back down to Queens. And because everything had been arranged and everything had been prepaid, that was, you know, theoretically, the only next thing I was going to have to do was to go out to the funeral home, which I did on Saturday, and sign the papers for cremation. Or at least that's what I thought was all I was going to have to do. I had already decided that I was not going to look at Mommy now that she was gone. And I'd made that decision for two reasons. One is because I saw my grandmother after she died, and she looked alive. And frankly, I realized that dead bodies really freak me out. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but I decided I really didn't want to see her. But far more importantly than that, I had spent the past 17 years dealing with the reality of what had happened to Mommy. I had to deal with that reality every day. And for the past 10 years, in addition to the dementia, she wasn't in a bed with tubes and things like that, but really for the past 10 years, the incredibly beautiful woman that my mother was really changed. She'd gotten smaller, she'd lost her teeth. She just wasn't my beautiful mother anymore. And so I really wanted to remember her as she had been. Then it turns out, unfortunately, that since I wasn't at the nursing home when they picked her up, I was going to have to identify the body before they could cremate her. And so I had to, you know, I had to do it. And it was such a fast look that I'm pretty sure it was Mommy. No, I'm only kidding. It was Mommy, but I didn't spend time with her. I couldn't do that, and even now I can't get the picture out of my mind. I'd spent, before I went out to the funeral home, and on Friday I really took out old pictures of Mommy and Daddy and, you know, family pictures and stuff, and really looked at her, and now I'm really struggling to get the picture of her from the funeral home out of my mind, and I have pictures of Mommy and Daddy out on my desk to sort of help me through that. So my advice to people is that if you don't want to do that, if this is something that could possibly happen, then you need to bring somebody with you who could identify her, because somebody has to do that. It's also helping, dealing with the funeral home, that part of it aside, dealing with the funeral home helped me because it gave me sort of, I don't know, what's the word, logistical things to do. You know, technical, logistical, I don't know what the right word is. For example, all day on Friday, I just, you know, the only thing I could do was focus on making a list and calling places like her pension company. She'd retired from the County of Westchester Department of Social Services, and so I called them to see what is the process, so they, because they automatically deposit her pension, and I didn't want to have that be an issue. How do I stop that? And all the stuff with Social Security, and you know, all of the technical kinds of things that you need to do, and talking a lot with friends, and talking a lot with my sisters. We talked probably 20 times on the phone, and, well, I don't know, 100 times between Thursday and today. But and thinking about you know, the ceremony to spread her ashes and stuff like that, which is just going to be among a very small number of family members, and believe it or not, it's been a very difficult thing to organize. But it's really helped me to really focus, and also another thing has been responding to so many really lovely notes of condolences. So I forgot what your question was, but there you go.
No, that's wonderful. And you know what, Barbara, that's the other thing about caregiving, is that even after your mom's passing, you're still providing some caregiving, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're taking care of the logistical, or if you want to call it the administrative.
Administrative, that's the word. Thank you.
You know? And that's twofold, because on one hand, it's sort of, it's the final caregiving task that you, as her primary caregiver, it's that final farewell, if you want to say, to that caregiving that you were giving for her.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I had handled all of this, one of the things that I found I could not do was write her obituary. And so I asked my sisters to please handle that. My sister Catherine wrote the obituary and remembered, and because they're older, they remembered things that I didn't. I you know, it's funny how things affect you. That I couldn't do. I could do all the rest of the stuff. I you know, if I had to identify the body, you know, buck up, buckaroo, you know, that's fine. I can do that. All of those things. The one thing I couldn't do was write the obituary, and so that was something that was really interesting. And you're right; I mean, it is going to go on. It's going to go on for quite a long time. You know, now I called the lawyer and said, "What do we do now?" You know, I was looking for things to talk about with, you know, to occupy my mind, and hopefully, it was all taken care of. So theoretically, he said, well, if, you know, if the plans that you made before are still the plans that you have in place, then there's really nothing for you to do. I'm like, oh, I can live with that. But yeah, it does go on, and it goes on in ways that I'm sure I have not. You know, it was like suddenly thinking of people that probably should be notified, distant cousins and stuff, where you think to yourself, oh, you know, never thought of that. I bet that's a good thing to do. So,
and then there's always the you know, the different events that come up throughout the year that, you know, you'll
yes.
visit people and you know, you'll inform them. You know, my mom has passed away, and
yeah,
there's all of those firsts that you'll experience, you know, as the year goes by, for sure.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, this is a good time. We're going to stop again for another short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living, and we're talking about the end time. And if you'd like to call in and ask me a question, share your story, we'd love to hear from you. Just call toll-free at 866-472-5788. But if you'd rather not call, you can email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. That's barbara@agewiseliving.com. And we'll be right back.
voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had some place to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking about the end time.
And Barbara, you have been sharing a lot of your experience, and you've given us just some amazing advice on coping with the grief and the loss of a loved one. And I'd just like to know what other advice you'd give to your listeners who are experiencing loss of the loved one or someone that they have cared for.
Well, that's a good question. I think part of it, a little bit touched on when I was talking with Dotsie, I think a really big part of it is that there's no right or wrong way to grieve. And I think that's really important. I've had a lot of friends and people who have contacted me who've actually called me or that I called to tell them about Mommy. And it was right, you know, when it was right after it happened, they were just sympathetic. But throughout the weekend, and especially on Sunday, I got a call from someone who was asking me how I was handling it. And I said, I'm doing fine. I'm, you know, taking care of all this technical administrative stuff, and you know, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. And I really had, it's not the feeling. I mean, it was the feeling because I absolutely know this was not what she had in mind. But I really had the feeling that, because she said, well, no, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You know, and she proceeded to really, you know, that's,
you know, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it, and this is the, you know, this is the process, and if you don't do that, then this will be a problem. And it's like, wow. And actually got off the phone pretty quickly because I didn't want to start something, but I realized, you know, it's such a personal thing. Such a personal thing, just between the three sisters and my two sisters and myself, and other people that I know who are generational coaching clients, where they'll contact me and let me know that their parent has passed away, or a lot of the notes of condolence that I got, emails and actual notes and things like that, that you know, the different ways that people went through it. And I think that the most important thing is to let it, do it in your own way, and don't worry about what other people think or what other people say or, you know, what people tell you you're supposed to do, because it just is such a personal thing. And I just really feel strongly about that. And I think also, if you are someone who is trying to help someone who's grieving, don't tell them how they're doing it wrong, because they're not. They're just doing what they're doing, and maybe that's the way they do it. So there you go.
Well, that's wonderful, and I really appreciate that. You know, it's there is no textbook. I mean, I'm sure there are textbooks out there about the grieving process, but really it is very personal, and the important thing is to remember that people give themselves permission to grieve in whatever way they need to.
Yeah.
It does take time.
Yeah, and I think you asked about advice. I mean, I cannot stress enough how important it was. I consider myself a very organized person who is great in a crisis. I'm terrific at it. I could not put a sentence together on Thursday night. I literally could not put a sentence together. So for anybody to try and make any decisions at that point about anything is absurd, and you know, start thinking. You there?
Yes.
Okay. Drop the phone. Sorry. Start thinking in terms of what it is that what it is that you want. And not just for yourself, but sit down and talk with your loved one, or talk to other family members and stuff like that, and really, really get a sense of what is, you know, what is wanted and how they want to do it.
So. Absolutely, and where you need the support there for sure,
and where you need the support.
Do we have time for one final question?
We do.
I'd really love to know, I know now about your mom and her end time, but I don't know about her life. And I was just wondering, can you tell us a little bit about your mom and what she was like?
I'd love to. I would love to. She was really quite a remarkable woman. She was very remarkable. She was an avid photographer, especially of wildflowers. And in fact, several of her pictures have been published in the great big coffee table book called Wildflowers of North America. And so we were very proud of that. And I remember times in the, you know, on a weekend, she'd take 2, 3, 4 rolls of film, and she and Daddy, who was also an avid photographer, would sit there and look at all of the slides of, you know, you'd pull out, it was a slide projector, it was the good old days, and you'd look at 100 slides, all of the same picture, slightly different lighting, slightly different focus, which is why to this day I am so detail-oriented when I see it. But it's funny, just a sort of quick funny story. Apparently she found a flower that she wanted to photograph, which just happened to be on the lawn of the school. And before she went to work one morning, there she was on her stomach taking a picture as my sisters were arriving on the school bus. So, you know, they were completely mortified. I was just glad I was in elementary school at the time. But a wonderful photographer. She loved to knit, a love that I've inherited from her. And it was amazing because she could knit while she was reading a book. I have no idea how she did it. She could, because I have to pay attention. But I still every night use the blanket she made. She was a talented origamiist. You know, origami, the Japanese paper folding, and she taught that all over in local elementary schools and the library and stuff like that. And she'd make the tiniest little things, and then she'd put them in cards and jewelry and all kinds of stuff. Just absolutely amazing. I don't know how she did it. She was a member of the Katona Rotary Inner Wheel, at which at that time it was before, I guess it was before women were allowed, so it was the Inner Wheel, so it was the wives program, because of course they allow women now. She was an NGO, non-governmental delegate for women's affairs to the United Nations. She volunteered at the Bronx Zoo and the Botanical Gardens, and she was a supervisor, 20 years supervisor at the County of Westchester for the Department of Social Services. So where, interestingly enough, she visited nursing homes to make sure that people were being well taken care of. So, I'm really sorry. That is all the time we have today, and I appreciate you asking that last question. The time went really fast. And I'd like to thank again my good friend Ann Short for being with me today to hold my hand. I really appreciate it. And I hope you'll tune in next Tuesday because we're going to get back on track, and our special guest will be Jen Devine of Caring People Home Care. And she's going to talk about the who, what, where, when, why, and how, and all the options of hospital discharge planning. So I really hope you enjoy it, you join us. And so until next Tuesday, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific week, and please hug your parents. Bye-bye.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.